Welcome to another episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, where we focus on building better businesses. I believe in order to be the best leader that you can be, you must be willing to be the first follower and have a servant mentality when you're in a leadership position. If you want to be the best leader that you possibly can be sure to stay tuned and listen to industry leaders and hear how they built winning cultures in their own businesses.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tactical Leadership. Today, we are speaking with Jesse Tedisco, better known as Jesse T, and we're going to dive into how he helps entrepreneurs and executives create wealth. Jesse, welcome to the show, my friend.
What's going on, brother? Long time coming.
Long time coming, man. I think you were the first show I was on way back.
Man, it's been a while.
Year and a half, 2 years ago almost.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and that was a fun episode. Yeah. That was really fun.
Yeah, way back in the archives of the Jesse T Show. Before we dive too hard into that, I want to tell the audience, man, you're the founder of 462 Wealth Partners. You obviously have the Jesse T Show, a huge podcast that's rolling. You're syndicated in 12 cities, a dozen, two dozen cities, something like that. You're an entrepreneur. I mean, you've been kind of all over. Unfortunately, you started in Boston. A lot of bad things about that.
Freedom
again. Patriots fan, so obviously we'll stay away from that. But overall, that's where you're grinding, man. You're a father. You have two beautiful boys that we'll probably hear a little bit in the background. This is actually an interesting one because we're recording in person, one of the very few I've done like this. So I'm really excited to knock this out, man.
Excited to have you in my home, brother, and have this conversation, man. Let's get it.
Absolutely. So beyond everything we just said, tell the audience just a little bit about the stuff that you want them to know.
I think the biggest thing people need to know is I shouldn't even be alive, man. I've had some really interesting moments in my life where I've faced death, and I've held death twice in my arms. One of them actually this month of March, two of the most important people I've held in my life closely, but also till they passed away. One was my daughter. She died after 7 days of being injured at delivery, held her until she took her last breath. And then my mom, who fought an 8-year battle with cancer, she's prior service as well. And she was a full active duty military, army badass. And she was so friggin' stubborn that they gave her 1 year to live and she lived for 8. So she was definitely everything and more. So this month of March has been kind of heavy, but I think the biggest thing people need to understand is that by sharing those stories, it has helped with my healing. And then also it's helped other people share their stories as well.
Yeah, man. And I know, knowing you personally, you obviously are big on that piece. And a big piece of that, obviously you learned in the military. Tell us a little bit about your service in the military.
Yeah, man. So I was escaping a life of crime in Boston. I had been a really good dude growing up, and then I got caught up with some bad people. And for 2 years, I went on a run of selling drugs and doing drugs. And my mom, who was prior service, she was in my ear the whole time about going to save my life and how to do it. And she's like, you need to join the military, get some discipline. You know, we have this background in our family of military, so I kind of always had an idea of it. And it's just something just clicked one day. I was like, I'm going to end up dead or in jail. This life isn't for me. And I enlisted in the Navy, and I started planning. I think it was like 2 months out, started training, eating better, just started getting my mind dialed in, stopped doing all the drugs. And I was shooting heroin every day. And so I actually went cold turkey, and thankfully it wasn't as bad as most people say it was. I guess maybe I just wasn't as bad into it as I thought it was. Anyway, so long story short, enlisted, went to boot camp out of Great Mistakes, Chicago, Illinois area. It's Great Lakes RTC command that's out there. And I learned right away, man, that I was meant to be a leader, because there was something they saw in me that I didn't see in myself, where they took me and they put me as the RPOC, which is the Recruit Chief Petty Officer. And you were responsible for marching people to chow and like getting people like their shit ready, like just like kind of basically the little commander within the group of like 80 cadets. I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared for that leadership at that time because I was still coming into my own as a human. And so I screwed that up intentionally. Like I self-imploded that, and they actually bumped me to Master at Arms, which was more my style because I was still kind of like this hard ass tough guy from Boston, and Master at Arms was like laying down the law. So like, it was like making sure everybody's like racks were neat. Like they were squared away, like kind of being a hard ass, and I fucking fell right in that. So for about 80 cadets for the next, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, I was in charge of like making sure their shit was tight and we were where we needed to be. So.
And a big piece I wanted to highlight that is, as you've moved forward, you're in the entrepreneur world. You've done, I mean, honestly, and I know we've both talked about Gary Vee and the great things that he does. And you kind of were in that journey from comic books to sports cards and just kind of hustling.
Yeah, man.
Ever since an early age, I guess. What initiated like that mindset towards entrepreneurship early?
Two things. Number one, I was born with it. I was born with a curiosity of people, born with a curiosity of relationships. I was always asking questions and always learning. And I was picking up on people skills very early on, which served me very well to this day. And the second thing was scarcity. So growing up in Boston, was poor. You know, we went without heat during the winter sometimes, we went without food sometimes. And I say that, but it was, you know, I never felt like I was poor, but I knew I was poor. And those two things combined, plus being in a very hustler's mentality of like the Northeast, like New York and Boston, you see a lot of like hustlers that come from there, good and bad. And so I think I was just this in this perfect storm of naturally having this curiosity towards it, scarcity, needing practicality, needing more money, and then being in an environment that fostered that. So long story short, man, before Gary Vee, I even knew who he was years ago. I'm 39. When I was a kid, I was selling, buying, trading comic books, baseball cards, shoveling snow for money, running over to Logan Airport and returning the smart carts and getting a quarterback every time they popped out from the little stall. But the best part about that was getting chased by security, like our friends would, like, it was just really fun and whatever. So I always kind of had this entrepreneurial knack, and that's since translated into four businesses, two that were very successful to this day, and then two that were learning lessons. Yeah.
And the reason I wanted to kind of correlate those two, you started this early where obviously, I mean, you're running from security, you're kind of doing the silly things make money, right?
Yeah.
Then you go into the military. Do you think you took lessons out of what you learned in the Navy, applied it to business to create more of a structure around knowing how you are built now with 4, 6, and 2? Obviously there's just a ton of structure because you're playing with people's money, not playing I guess that's a bad terminology, but you're handling money.
Steward.
Right. You're a caregiver of people's finances.
Yes.
So did that kind of correlate where you saw the love of money at a young age, went into the military, kind of saw what structure and that type of leadership looked like, and you've kind of bound that into what you're doing now?
All of it came together. Yeah. So I would say I had, a curiosity for learning that still happens. I'm very much a student at heart. And I was set out at a young age through circumstance and my own learning to learn the wisdom of wealth. And so I don't believe personally I have a love of money. I believe I have a curiosity and a foundational kind of tenet of money where I've been able to learn how to build wealth for myself, and I can show how other people how to do that. And that all also played in with the military in terms of structure, in terms of teamwork and discipline and all these different things that were built into me during the military that I now deploy in my business every day, like making sure, you know, I'm squared away, so to speak, to bring back an old term, like when it comes to operations or client management or portfolio management. So a lot of the really what it was is the military gave me my belief back in myself, and it really instilled integrity and work ethic and camaraderie. And so I deploy all those lessons today.
And the big one, I guess the big organization you're running right now is 4, 6, and 2. Like that's the larger organization that you have out of everything.
Yep.
So you're operating here in Atlanta. You focus on, give us a rundown, because obviously I'm not going to do justice trying to explain an investment advisory firm.
No, it's all good, brother. It's simple, man. So 46 and 2 Wealth Partners is a full service investment management firm. I'm an independent registered investment advisory, so I don't have anyone looking over my shoulder telling me to push product or service. And that's actually what keeps us separate from the marketplace. And we're built that way by design. And so out of 400,000 close to registered financial professionals in the United States alone, only 5% of us are fiduciaries, which is just a really funny sounding word to say that we don't screw over our clients because it sounds like douche, right? So like in most financial people can be douches. And so we took a different stance. Like we don't wear bow ties and suits. We wear t-shirts and jeans, like because people that know what we're capable of don't care how we dress. They care what we can do for them. And so when it comes to clients, we align with our clients' goals perfectly because we don't have to sell them anything to make money. We work on advice. We're an advice only business. And the real distinction there is, you know, there's never a conflict of interest because most financial planners will charge a commission for a product or service they have to sell. We give advice on wherever life intersects with my business or personal. So a business owner wants to scale their business. They want to leverage debt. They want to pay down debt. They want to build wealth. You know, they want to do some stuff to, you know, help their employees. Like we can come in and make an impact where it comes to keeping more of their money, making more money, and more importantly, stop trading time for money. And my whole business is 4602 Wealth Partners, but really disguised, it's a consciousness awakening business where I can teach people the things that I've learned from different things, from spirituality to biohacking to health and wellness to business. And with the the wealth planning side of the business is really kind of just the formality. Like it's just the entry point. But when I bring people into my business, I bring people in under three principles. It's the three P's. So profit, participation, and personality. So I bring the exact type of people I want in my business where we're going to make money together. They're going to participate in their own growth. Cause much like a personal trainer, if they're not focused on showing up and eating right, like I can only do so much for them. Mm-hmm. And then personality, do we like each other? So I've been able to craft this almost lifestyle business based on how I want to live my life, but also how I want to show up and be of service for my clients.
And a big piece of that you hit on it is that you have to be, you're different. You're not the bow tie guy, right? Quote unquote different, but really in reality, it's, you're bringing your authentic self into how you're serving clients and their needs. How do you craft that piece to like be comfortable enough in your own skin to put yourself out there in a capacity that is outside of the quote unquote norm?
Yep. I think number one, I've always been a rebel at heart. So I've always had that, felt like the oddball in the room. And once I learned that was okay, and I stopped trying to fight that and step into who I really am, it gave me some freedom and confidence. And then that aligned with a mentor. His name's Patrick Tucker, who's an investment advisor in Omaha, Nebraska, who's very much in the same vein of my beliefs of spirituality, family, health and wellness. Someone I really aligned with, my tribe. He built this same kind of business, but 20 years ago. So he's like 15 years ahead of me or whatever the math is, right? And so aligning myself with a mentor who was in perfect, you know, alignment, to use that word again for the third time. He was in perfect alignment with me to where I could basically say, how did you do what you do? Show me the way, like be my Yoda, I'll be your Luke, like teach me. And he did. And he opened up his thoughts and his experiences. And when you have a mentor or an advisor in your life, they're not there just to show you how to make money. It's more importantly, they show you how to stop screwing up, like from their screw ups. And so as an advisor, a lot of people come to me like, manage my portfolio and help me make money. That's kind of like a said and done, like we're going to do that. But where I'm really dangerous is like teaching people how not to screw up over here. Mm-hmm. Don't make this bad business decision. Don't invest over here. And that's really what the magic sauce is, because you can never get time back. And that's a huge piece of my life is time. So I think it's really important for understanding the distinction between hiring someone that you align with, again, for the fifth time, because it's so important to me, but then people that you want to do life with too, people that you want to bring into your world, and they're going to help you do the things you want to do, but like, you're going to be able to high five them and be happy with them too.
And a lot of that, obviously, you've learned through your journey, right? This isn't where you started on Streets of Boston, right? So you've obviously had resources, coaches, mentors.
Yep.
What would be like that one catalyst point you look back at and say, this is where I kind of shifted this mindset toward where I am now?
I think for me, again, this goes back to, I've always been innately interested in learning and growing. And so I've always, because I think the antithesis of this was not having a dad growing up, although he came back into my life the last 10 years. He was a heroin addict for 35 years. So for 35 years, he was on drugs, cleaned up the last 10 years of his life. We built a relationship. It was great. He was the best man at my wedding. It was really interesting and fun. But not having that growing up, I was A, curious as a student, but B, looking for that support structure of like a role model. And so always having those things built in me, I was always on the search for people, whether it was coaches or leaders or friends, people that can advise me and teach me. And once you get enough advice and enough teaching, well, then you can turn around and teach other people. Mm. And so if you have a servant's heart or a need to be of service, it's completely your responsibility to take what you've learned and then deploy it back to those that are looking to learn the same things.
And is that how you describe yourself in that like leadership role? You're a servant to
servant leader,
you're helping with?
Yeah, without question, I'm a servant leader. So I'm into some really weird shit outside of financial planning. And every time I go peek behind the curtain, I bring back something that I can give back to those that I'm consulting in my business, to those that I'm doing. I have other businesses that I do, people that are partners in other businesses. It's all in an effort, A, to enjoy the shit out of life and do interesting stuff, but then to bring it back to people and say, this is what I've learned and use it how you will.
And you mentioned the interesting stuff you're involved with outside of.
Yeah, man.
And I think this is something that I really am fascinated with. And we've had conversations offline, you know, bro to bro about self-mastery, things I struggle with, and how to get like the mindset right. And this other stuff you're involved with, I'll let you explain to the audience, but it's one of those that you have a different level of consciousness, awareness, and flexibility within your own mindset for that self-mastery, where a big journey that I'm on, and I think really good leaders are on, is trying to find that level of self-mastery or finding the answer to better master yourself.
Yeah.
So go into the weird shit.
Yeah.
And tell us some more about that aspect.
Let me give an illustration of where this came from. So being on a search and a journey, and part of it was also my spiritual walk with God. And so, trying to figure all that out. And so I started getting into years ago, like guys like Les Brown, Simon Sinek, and like all the motivational YouTube 2 to 3 minutes, like go out and you rise and all this stuff. And like, that was great. But as Jocko Willink will say, it's like motivation's fleeting. It's discipline. It equals freedom. And I truly believe that. And so I started finding other thought leaders started finding me, and one after another, it led me down a path of, we'll start with the easy stuff first, like what I call biohacking, which is optimizing your life, your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, everything to be able to show up well for yourself and others. This was things like cold plunges, breath work. It was eating right. It was training implements, different things from jump rope to swinging maces to kettlebells to running obstacle course races as a big dude and smoking people. Like, it was really fun, right? But like, that led into another progression of people were placed in my life, and things like listening to Joe Rogan and the types of people he had on his podcast, they started talking about sacred plant medicines. Sacred plant medicines are these plants that are found in nature, unaltered by big pharma, unaltered by man. Honestly, I think they're gifts from God. And essentially what they do is when you sit in ceremony with these things and you sit with intention and you do things like you fast before you sit with them and you carve out intentions and you get a journal so that you can be prepared for these downloads that you receive. You know, you sit down with psilocybin mushrooms, you sit down with ayahuasca, which I'm going to be doing here in about a week going to Peru, which is incredible. I'm going to be going to sit with, you know, these shamans that are a lineage of hundreds of years, and they're actually the last of their tribe. I'm going with some brothers in arms too. So if you know Lane Ballone, I think he's probably been on your show before. If not, have him. Stephen Kuhn, you've introduced me to both of these guys. You know, these are high level combat guys, retired, that became high level entrepreneurs. But more so than all that, they're just spiritual soul brothers because they're on the same path. And so we'll go sit with ayahuasca. It's a brew. It's made from a vine, and it's broken down with an MAOI inhibitor so your body can digest it. And then, you know, 45 minutes to an hour later after it, drinking this tea, essentially, you are given profound insights that will change your life. Things that have happened for me are I've felt the love of God. This is through psilocybin mushrooms. So I sit with it once a quarter. So every 3 months I have a time with these plant medicines, and I've felt the love of God. I've felt unity consciousness. I've been shown how to be and receive more love in the world, how to show up better in the world. I've gotten a download that told me to speak truth and freedom through my microphone, which is things like this. And so basically every single time I come back, I peek behind the veil, I get to see incredible things that teach me how to be a better person, how to work. It's like swallowing a therapist too. Like, I've done therapy through the years for many things, and I can tell you without question, hands down, this is by far the best therapy I've ever done. There are people that'll tell you that it's anywhere from 5 to 10 years worth of therapy in one sitting. I cannot disagree. And even more than therapy, because therapy is one thing to go sit and talk and get it out. The work that you have to do after therapy is where the magic is. And I never did that. With plant medicines, it actually almost, it's like it does the work essentially up front, and you still have to continue the work, but it's just so much different. So long story short, man, I can tell you that it's given me so much color to my life. It's helped me heal parts of my body and my mind. It's also helped me heal relationships, man. So I'm on that path.
And that's something that I know you're integrating, and we're going to talk more about this during Tactical Friday, because I think these are tactics that I've never talked about before on the show. Things that I've never dealt with. So obviously I want to bring that awareness to the audience for Tactical Friday's episode, but this is something you're integrating because you mentioned earlier that you're a consciousness and awareness firm with 46 & 2. So it's not just financial management. You've actually taken and aligned, another word, you know, that alignment of not just yourself with your clients, but it's your interests, your goals, your lifestyle into what you're bringing into your client world, into your business world. Yep. How have you seen that change, like financially, business-wise, even personally? Like, how have you seen actually that having that true alignment with yourself change all of those factors?
It has given my life the most color, the most interesting components, the best people it's brought into my life. And so when you're aligned spiritually, emotionally, business-wise, financially, I don't want to say that you're in constant flow, because that wouldn't be true, but you're definitely in a different state of operation. Like your things that are coming into your life, that you're maybe calling into your life, things that are kind of being opportunities presented to you, relationships that are coming to you, brother, like it's this magical place to be. And so I could say without question, all these things that I've worked on and continue to work on have completely given me the life I have today. And I'm like the luckiest son of a bitch you'll ever meet.
And do you really feel like it's luck that has crafted all this? Because that's a great cop out, right? So you want to talk about luck of, you know, 20 or 30 years of work and quote unquote overnight success. That's lucky. But realistically, it's not really luck. It's like years of work and dedication and devotion that you've put into yourself.
Right.
Would you say that's getting past, like, it's not luck? Have you had to have like a level of selfishness with yourself and put yourself first to show up available for others?
It's totally not luck. That's kind of like the humble side of saying, yes, it's been many years of hard work, many years of breaking myself down to build myself back up better, many years of being humbled. I could tell you the first plant medicine journey I did was about a year ago, April 2020, and it beat the shit out of me emotionally, psychologically. And for 2 weeks, I was pretty much like depressed, like no serious thoughts of anything, but just depressed to the point where my kids will watch Disney Plus and like Moana's on, just a random scene will just make me bawl out crying. And it was beautiful because I was able to teach them as a man, which I got into this work separate, like this men's work that's now turned to men's and women's work, where I'm able to show my sons as little boys that as a man, as a strong man, like a warrior monk, you could be really strong, you could be intellectual, but like you could be emotional too. And to tie all that together, because I know I never had that as a kid. I didn't even have a dad. My dad was a junkie. So it was like, for me, these beautiful things that have happened have allowed me to show up better for them. And as far as, can you kind of just reiterate the point, the question again? Because I kind of got off on tangent there.
I mean, really, the tangent is the best part. You know, it's not the luck. It's this work that you've done.
Yeah, the work. So the work, number one, never ends. It always continues, and it's a lot of work. And it's like, but here's I've built the work into my life to be parts of my life. Like here's something that's work that I don't consider work anymore. Cold showers every morning. Hmm. I take a cold shower every morning because it reduces inflammation. Inflammation is the precursor to disease. Like I want to live longer so I can show up for my kids, and so. Cold. The shower is generally never warm ever. Like I just turn on, barely get it on. And all of a sudden, even in, you know, March when it's 70 degrees outside, that shit is cold. So, but what it also does, it works on your mindset because no one wants to take a cold shower first thing in the morning. Nobody wants to get in there and be uncomfortable, but being uncomfortable is where the growth happens. And I've learned this through my life in so many aspects of life, putting myself into uncomfortable situations on purpose has given me that growth. And it's funny to talk about that overnight success because I've heard this from my mentor too. He's the 20-year overnight success. There is no such thing as an overnight success because usually it goes away just as fast. It's the 20-year, the 15-year, the 10-year. But what I've learned on that process, the journey is the secret sauce. The journey is the most important thing. So you can have a goal. You can have a target. You should. But if that's all you're looking for and you're missing the days with your family and you're missing the days of self-care and you're missing the days of showing up for yourself and going back to that point of being selfish – we have to change our mindset. It's not being selfish to love yourself, to love yourself first. And there's actually a book that I read on, actually listened to on Audible called Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. And it's so profound. But when's the last time you looked in the mirror and said, Zach, I love you to yourself, Jesse, I love you to yourself. We have 60 to 90,000 thoughts per day and they're mostly negative. And I was telling you about this a couple of weeks ago. I was like, one day I looked at myself and I was like, call myself an MF-er. I'm like, if anyone else called me an MF-er, like I wouldn't be around that person.
Right.
I'm doing that to myself. And how many times a day do I do that? Mm-hmm. And so you have to be selfish, selfish with love in the sense of love yourself first, because if your cup is empty and you're a business owner, you're a dad, you're anything, you can't pour into other people if your cup is empty. So you have to fill up your cup first to be able to give back to the world. So absolutely be selfish with loving yourself so that you can love other people better.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really powerful. And you've mentioned things that have helped with your journey. This is huge though, right? This is something in a 30-minute conversation, we can't really get to even the tipping point for somebody.
Yeah.
And again, we're going to hit more of it on the tactical piece of the how to, but even before we get to those steps, like this is such a broad thing that we're talking about. What's the starting point? Like if you have like, go to do this, whether it's a cold shower in the morning, show gratefulness in the morning, every day, you know, what is that one thing that would be an easy first step? Because a lot of people are going to be overwhelmed by everything you're talking about and just won't do it out of fear of whatever, failing to do something like this. So what would that one thing be?
So I had gone before plant medicines are really renowned for helping with depression, anxiety, thoughts of suicide, drug addiction, all this stuff. And it's actually really big in the military community and space for a lot of different reasons. And I've dealt with like seasonal depression stuff where like never thought about hurting myself or someone else, but like just low, like, especially like this weekend where my daughter's birth, where she passed away, like it's her weekend where she was born. It's a heavy weekend. It's also, you know, the month where my mom passed away. So all this stuff. And so I was looking for something years ago to try to build myself stronger and learn from these things and come out of it. And so again, I'm really a big believer that when the student's ready, the master will appear in every different way that can happen, whether it's a song or a book or a person. I've seen this synergy, this weird thing that happens in life. And one of the things that happened for me was Ed Milet came into my life, and I'm not a huge fan of his personally, but like what his message that he delivered was perfect at that time. And there's nothing wrong with Ed Milet. I just choose, I'm, you know, not in that lane. So he was talking about stacking gratitude. And this is something everyone can do. So if you woke up in the morning and your life is complete shit, I don't know if we're supposed to swear on this podcast, but I'm an ex-sailor, ex-sailor from Boston, baby. So it's going to happen. Sorry to your listeners and viewers. So stacking gratitude is taking even the most minute thing and being thankful for it and talking about it, saying, I'm thankful for this, makes me feel good because. And so the big thing for me at that time was I woke up. I got to wake up today. There are people that don't wake up today. Mm-hmm. Next thing is I'm healthy. I can go for a run. I can swing a mace. I can do a jump rope. Like, there's people that don't have legs. And I started thinking about the people that are disabled a lot of times. I go back to that, or people that have some sort of mental disability. The love that they have for their life, and a lot of times how they get after their life. It's like, who the hell am I as a completely able-bodied person to shit on these gifts, to not like step up and be like, I can go for a walk today, suck it up. Like, and you don't have to be hard on yourself, but sometimes you do. And so I think the biggest thing is stacking gratitude. So did you wake up today? Are you fully functional as a human? Do you have your mental capacity? Do you have your physical body? Do you have relationships where at least one person cares about you? Like, start thinking about those things. Did the sun come up? It's not raining today. Like, if you can find something to be truly thankful for and really dive into that thankfulness, now you start building these little micro moments of happiness. You start building these micro moments of positivity in your life. And then you start looking at the world, and 30 days later, the world looks a lot brighter. Mm. And you're like, wow. So again, if someone can have one thing that they're thankful for, and then the next day they find another thing, the next day they find another thing, and they start looking at everything as gratitude. And you can, once you get to that place, it's like everything's gratitude. Mm-hmm. Like very serendipitous things. Like if something out of the blue, like makes me laugh, I'm like, wow, that was really funny. And it was like, well, I'm very thankful for that because I'm like, I'm in a good place. And so I think it takes time to get there, but start with gratitude.
Man, I love that. And I think it's you exemplify that in everything you do, every conversation we have. I mean, there's always something that you're grateful for and you really push it out there. And I think it helps as a reminder to us, you know, kind of puts that context around, because we do have friends that aren't here anymore. We do have family or kids that aren't here anymore. So maintaining that level of gratefulness, I think, is amazing. And everything you're doing, from all your great works, all your consciousness, awareness, and helping people with their finances. I mean, you're doing so many different things. What's the legacy you're wanting to leave on the world from all these great works you're doing?
It's so woo-woo, but I operate here, and it's just to be and receive love in every moment that I have with people. So like when I hang out with you, or I'm with my kids, or I'm with, you know, my ex-wife, or I'm with other people that I do life with, I'm very blessed and lucky to be around some of the most amazing people I've had the pleasure of meeting that are around me today. And just showing up in those relationships and adding love and value and holding space. If someone has a tough day and they just need to just download into me, like I can handle that. And so it's all about the micro moments. And I've always had this weird phrase that kind of I was operated with, and it was leave people better than you found them. And I don't mean leave them like you're one and done, but just like every interaction that you're in, every relationship you have, just try to add a little something to it. Whether it's you need to listen to that person, whether it's you need to love on that person, give that person a hug, a high five, a kick in the ass, whatever it is. I think that's my legacy, is to just be an embodiment of love. And from what I've found through plant medicines and relationships I have with people that operate in this world, like that's one of the highest vibrations you can live on. Like that's like, if you can just be and receive love, and you know, obviously again, that's kind of woo woo and kind of out there, but then operate and do what you need to do daily. It's a life well lived.
It really is. And it's such a great journey and the path you're on. And I know you talk about this more on your podcast, the content you put out a ton of stuff. You have a retreat coming up. Go ahead and give the audience, how can they best find you, find the content, find your show that's all across the country now. I'm a little bit envious of that. That's a pretty big deal in the podcasting world. So tell the audience the best way to find you.
Yeah, man. Best way to find me is, I do a lot on Instagram and LinkedIn. So on Instagram, it's at Jesse, J-E-S-S-E underscore T, which is a family nickname, which is T-E-E, at Jesse underscore T. LinkedIn, I'm sorry, that's Instagram. Please hit me a follow. I'll follow you right back. And then on LinkedIn, it's Jesse2Disco. So J-E-S-S-E T-O-D as in David, I-S-C-O. If you, you know, connect with me there, I'll connect with you back. And then just, you know, follow the Jesse T Show, because the Jesse T Show has some amazing people. You've been on it. Thought leaders, entrepreneurs, creators, athletes, authors, they all come on, and we've had some of the biggest names in the world, thank God, like incredible. Even people that haven't heard of, I've learned so much. And so the biggest thing about the podcast, it's been a masterclass on how to do life and business, and the relationships, and you know this because we do a lot together. So like the relationships that come from this have given my life so much value and so much meaning. So the Jesse T Show podcast, if you can get value from someone that you hear or see on that show, I'd be grateful for people to check it out.
Absolutely. It's all linked in the show notes. Go check it out. Go check out Jesse. We appreciate your time, my friend.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast. And I hope you got a ton of value out of what we talked about today. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Knight Protection Services. If you're a leader in a small to mid-sized business that does $5 to $10 million a year in revenue and want to improve retention costs, which could actually add up to being twice your employee's salary, all through creating a safer work environment and saving up to 25% in insurance costs, be sure to visit knightprotectionllc.com.